The Bible is falling.
Well, hello again, friends. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast right now. However you're listening to it, whatever you're doing whilst listening to the podcast. Maybe you're getting some good you time with this podcast. Maybe you're curled up by a fire somewhere in the middle of summer. Because it's still, you know, it's still, your fireplace still works. Maybe you're working. A lot of you are working. A lot of you reach out and tell me you listen to the podcast while you work. And that feels special to me. Because I feel like we're working together. We're co-workers. I'm just not a helpful co-worker. I'm just on in the background, just yakking away about different things. But thank you so much for listening. This is the Bible is Funny podcast. My name is Anthony Russo. This is a special segment we've started called Christian Movies Are Funny. Christian Movies Are Funny, which means, of course, that I am joined today by none other than Timothy Andrew Wyckoff.
That's me. Hey, buddy.
Yay!
I feel like I needed a clapped intro.
Studio audience welcomes Tim in. Tim and I get to record this podcast together in the same room as we are traveling doing an Isaac Improv show right now.
Yeah, and I would also like to add that if Anthony is your coworker, then he's not great right now. You're probably distracted from your work. You're probably not very productive. And if I employed you, I'd be a little upset that you're listening to a podcast right now. So put that thing down and get back to your...
No, your work, you're more productive when you're listening to something good.
Not this one.
Well, I'm typing is what I'm doing with my hands.
Right.
But one person that reached out, they bake. They're a baker. They get up at like 4 in the morning. And they start baking.
You got to pay attention to what you're doing if you're baking.
Oh, it's from your heart.
No.
Bake with your soul.
No, you're thinking of a line cook.
This baker, if you're out there listening, you have approval to continue listening to
the podcast. Put down the podcast and bake the thing right.
Here on this special segment of the Bible is Funny podcast, where we talk about Christian movies, again called Christian Movies Are Funny. We started this. This is our second one. First one, we covered the film Left Behind.
Mm.
Left Behind. If you want to go back and listen to that, it was super fun. And we got a couple suggestions from you guys. I love this. If you have a suggestion for a Christian movie that you would like to hear us cover, I would love to hear that. Send it in, because we're going to keep doing this because it's super fun. But I'll give you the quick rundown again. My background in like the school, I went to film school. I love movies. I love TV. But most specifically love movies because I think they're so fun and they're great. And I grew up into this like Christian movie bubble. We make Christian movies, us Christians, and I thought we need to watch them. We need to rewatch some of them for me, and I need to make Tim watch them because Tim's not seen any of them. Tim, is that accurately said? Did I say that right?
Yeah, it's accurate, and then I've never... I don't think I've seen any of them. I mean, aside from what I saw, like the clips of movies that we saw in our high school youth group, even those were, you know, like clips from Mighty Ducks or something.
Yeah, right? we had a pretty progressive high school pastor.
Right, there was just no reason to watch a Christian movie, no offense.
We had a whole, the church we grew up in, we had a whole intro of movie clips, like the to start service. Did you have that?
I think the whole service was movie clips.
There was a lot of movie clips involved. So we love movies, love Christian movies. We are getting it. I love Christian movies. Tim watches them so that he'll do the podcast with me.
We're getting there.
We're getting there.
We're getting there.
Today we're covering a Christian movie classic. Another Christian movie classic. This movie is called, drumroll please, Facing the Giants. Today we're talking about Facing the Giants. I'm saying that build up as if the podcast name and description doesn't say we're covering Facing the Giants. You guys know we're doing this. Here's what we're doing. Facing the Giants, a football movie, if you have not seen it before. We'll get into more detail on that soon. Let me do this intro first.
If you think this was a football movie, you missed the point, brother.
You missed the real movie. Let me give you this intro. This movie is made by the Kendrick Brothers. Alex and Steven. I wrote their first names just so we knew. Who have made several Christian movies such as Courageous and Fireproof. Maybe you've heard of those Christian movies as well. This is their second movie. First movie was called Flywheel. This is their second movie, Facing the Giants, that we're covering today. And we want to give a little context here. The movie was made by the Kendrick Brothers, and they utilized a lot of their church. Like this was like a kind of a grassroots effort with their church, using some of their church folk as actors and actresses. And I'm maybe using that term loosely. The acting is not, you know, out of this world. But I wanted to start here. We did this a little in the last podcast because I just finished writing a book. We've talked about that some on the podcast. And it has filled me with this sort of appreciation for people who undertake big projects and complete them. You know, like, this is a big deal. They made a feature-length movie using, you know, people at their church. This is very difficult to do. Months and months and months of work. I don't care how the movie turns out.
Right,
it's
right.
It's months and months and months of work.
They were probably listening to a podcast while they made...
They would have got it done in weeks. But because they listened to a podcast. Man, I wish I had a great article on work productivity to shove in your face right now.
But you couldn't look it up because...
I don't have one because I'm doing a podcast. Yeah. So that's the movie Face the Giants, made by the Kendrick Brothers and their team. Want to start there. An effort of completion. They did it. They made this movie.
They did the thing.
They did the thing, and that is impressive. Tim, do you have kind of a quick summation of the movie for the people?
I mean, I can do my own, but the summation I love from IMDb, which gave this a lot of... I feel like they gave it a lot of thought and effort, and they appreciated the work that was put into making this film. Their synopsis was, a losing coach with an underdog football team faces their giants of fear and failure on and off the field to surprising results.
Ooh.
Which they basically copied and pasted from like all the other Christian movies that are on the list. Like the end of all these is... with surprising results.
You'll never believe how it ends.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give you guys a quick rundown of the movie in case you haven't seen it. Tim, I promise you this time I'll actually be quick with this portion. But jump in here if you feel like, you know, you need to. Coach Taylor.
Let's start there. This thing came out in 2006. Guess what else came out in 2006?
What else came out in 2006, Tim?
I don't know. Just this little show called Friday Night Lights.
Friday Night Lights did. Sure did.
Did you know there's a character in there called Coach Taylor?
Coach Taylor. It's just so iconic. It would be like another hockey movie coming out with Coach Bombay.
And what's crazy about this, and maybe it's coincidence. Like, I mean, that can't be... too hard to come up with the name Coach Taylor, but this guy Alex, Alex Kendrick, he plays this character that's strikingly similar to the Coach Taylor.
Right,
he's like a mix of Kyle Chandler's Coach Taylor and Dan Aykroyd. Like, it's this beautiful blend of these two characters. So
that's a good way to describe it, Coach Taylor.
That was awful.
Coach Taylor is the head coach of the Shiloh Christian Academy Eagles. He has never led the team to a winning season in the 6 years that he's coached the team. The movie starts off with them fighting. The movie starts off with them fighting valiantly to try to have a winning season, which is kind of a funny thing to imagine. We're almost 7-6. You're so close. He's got players, Coach Taylor. He's got players transferring away from his team. Mm-hmm. The parents of his players have formed a coalition to get him fired. Mm-hmm. He and his wife can't get pregnant. His car doesn't work. Something in his house stinks. And he's bald.
He's bald. And they're poor. They don't have any money.
And they're poor. He gets picked on for being bald a couple times. Hits me in a particular spot.
Right in the head.
When that happens. Coach Taylor comes up with a mysterious and unconventional philosophy for his team.
With surprising results.
What? One centered around their Christian faith, I suppose. We really never get the full rundown of the new philosophy.
No.
his wife says something about it seeming like it's bigger than football or something like that. Uh-huh. Maybe a la John Wooden, potentially.
Like I said, if you think this is a football movie, this thing went over your head, brother.
Revival breaks out on the football team across the school and presumably around the world.
I think, yeah.
We don't, that's fair. We don't get updates what was going on, but it was big. Parents are reunited with their children. Their relationships are restored. Students start excelling in the classroom. And the football team gets into the second round of the playoffs on a technicality. Because they're the team they played, hold on, Friday Night Lights fans, the Panthers, played two ineligible 19-year-olds. That's what happened. You can't do that. I won't lose too much time here, but how that was discovered after the game.
I know.
3 days later, we had a birth certificate check, I guess.
It goes really along understand. With this theme of like, we'll just pray for it and the miracle will come. It's like, I got this miracle. Like, we're not, I don't want to get too far into it, but.
Yeah.
You know.
That's what happened. They were in the first round of the playoffs. They lost, but they advanced on this, what happened here with the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles advance beyond that even. All the way to the state championship game where they take on the Richland Giants. Here we go, facing
they
the Giants.
Faced the Giants?
They take on the Richland Giants and their arrogant, constantly lollipop-sucking coach, Bobby Duke. Bobby Duke always had a lollipop.
Every shot.
The couple scenes he was in. The Eagles, the Shiloh Christian Academy Eagles win the state championship on a last-second field goal by backup kicker David Childers. And the cherry on top of this beautiful story, Coach Taylor and his wife are expecting at the end of the movie.
It's weird how everything wrapped up beautifully.
It just all came together.
Yeah.
It came together for Coach Taylor. this Coach Taylor. So that's it. I think it did a better job with it, keeping the synopsis tight.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the summary of it all is just, ain't that just like the Lord?
That does feel like something that needed to be said several times. Okay, Tim, start at the top.
What?
Give me the best part of facing the Giants.
All right, so there were positive things. Like, there's definitely positive stuff about the film. Like, I read somewhere that there was a part on the production team was a guy that worked with NFL films.
Okay.
So at the very beginning, you get a bunch of shots of, like, actual football
being
played. So you'd notice that. I am a football movie fan. I know they're always cheesy, like...
Yeah.
It's kind of why I like Friday Night Lights, like the TV show, is because they didn't always win. Like, they kind of start off losing.
And yeah.
Like, the end of the season doesn't end with them winning. It's this kind of, like, bummer of an ending of a season.
Right.
Like, which is unlike other stories that are told in football and other sports movies. I like these films. I like these stories that are told. And the... like, there are real football-looking shots.
Completely agree.
Like, they went out and filmed some real high school football games. And I think that's one of the other things you can do with a volunteer cast of, like, high school kids from your church. You can go, hey, put on these football pads, hit each other as hard as you can. Like, really try to play.
You're actually playing a game.
And then we'll see if this looks real. Turns out it does.
Yeah.
If you hire actors to do that stuff, that
they
don't know how to throw a football.
Right.
So that was a good part.
I agree with that so much. I'm very bothered by sports movies that don't accurately portray the sport.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think back to Michael J. Fox and Teen Wolf or Zac Efron in High School Musical.
Right.
And it's like, have you ever touched a basketball
prior
to this second? It doesn't look like
no.
This looked good.
Like,
this
looked good. As an athlete, you can smell a fake.
Yeah.
And they played some real football.
Yep. I totally agree. Do you have any other things for best parts? Or you want to?
It depends on how you define best. Like, the hardest I laughed was not at any of that. This also wasn't a comedy, so I don't think they wanted me to laugh at it.
Parts were funny.
There were parts that was funny.
Yeah.
I'll just jump into it. My favorite character.
Oh, you didn't jump ahead.
Oh, we can't.
I love
can
it.
I do that?
Do it.
The assistant coach, JT Hawkins Jr.,
yes.
Played by Chris Willis,
great.
Was a great actor.
Yeah.
He's like, he did the comedy part so well.
Yep.
Like, he delivered every line very well. At one point, sort of preaching to the kids. That was kind of the concept is, you know, coaches sort of changing the way the kids thought about life and about football and
yeah.
how they felt about God. And so this guy's like speaking into the kids' lives, but he's funny. Like, he
yeah.
like legitimately has funny lines that he delivers. And I don't think it was like written funny. I think he just crushed it.
Yes. Completely agree. I think he did a great job. I'm going to backtrack a little and give you my thoughts. The best part, This actually went kind of viral. My guess is, especially if you're in like a Southern Baptist evangelical church setting, you've seen this scene from this movie. It's the death crawl when Brock has to give all you got. Give me all you got, Brock. It went viral. It was very.
Did you cry?
I didn't cry at that part of this. But it's good. It's what you want from a sports movie. Like we said, I want to see someone going beyond their capacity and being inspired by a guide, a coach,
yeah.
who's taking them to the next level.
I don't like getting yelled at, though. Like, like, I don't mind it from my wife. Like, if we're in a fight, I kind of want to get yelled at.
Yeah.
But, like, my boss or somebody, he's, like, yelled at.
He's yelling.
And he's being encouraged. But it's like loud, like
right
for a long time. Like, I've tried to do those workout tapes.
Yeah,
and like the
workout
more
tapes.
Well, whatever. What are they?
Like a Peloton type thing.
Yeah, yeah, kind of thing. Yeah. And like the more they yell at me and like encourage me, I'm like, I'm not buying what you're selling. I don't want to do this. I don't have it in me. I don't feel like it.
Yeah, there's definitely some of that. There was some for me of like, you know, there's a balance here. Because at another point in the game, Brock is like, Coach, I'm really tired. And he's like, right. You've got to stay in there, Brock. There's a little bit of me that's like, all right, in the context of the story, he's
right.
like 17 years old. You probably should take him out if he's telling you he's in this kind of shape. But, you know, sports movies, man, you like to see them go beyond where they think they could go. I think the death crawl scene's good. It's got a great button joke. Button joke, if you're not familiar, it's like the end of the scene. It's nice to kind of land a little joke. They say, he says something like,
oh,
you
yeah.
did this with this kid on your back who weighs 140 pounds. And he says, hey, coach, I weigh 160.
Right. He was Forrest Gump.
It was
on his back.
It's a good impression.
Yeah, I agree. I love that. I did love that line from that kid. Like, hey, coach, I'm 160 pounds.
Way more than that, coach.
As a way to, you know, encourage Brock to say, you did more than you could lift. But also, hey, coach, I know I look like I'm 140 pounds.
Right.
I've been eating hot dogs all summer.
I've been bulking up. I've
been trying to get some protein.
All right, I'm going to cover some other thing. You jumped to your favorite character, and it's a great transition because I liked Brock. I liked Brock.
Yeah.
I tell you what I love is a movie team, a football team spearheaded by a lineman. I love a lineman being the vocal leader of the team.
Right.
Not enough respect to linemen out there, football mm-hmm. players. I love Brock being the guy. You know, because this is the motif. You got to have the one guy on the team who's not bought in,
right.
But then when he buys in, that's when we're making progress.
And he's an influencer.
He's in more ways than social. But I actually have a couple. I want to talk about a couple people here.
Uh-oh.
Because some of them didn't get as much time. David Childress's dad.
Oh my lord!
Was one of my
the worst.
No, he was one of my favorite characters.
Oh, he's awful. I cringed every time he came up on the scene.
His lines of dialogue.
So bad.
David Childress.
So bad.
Is a backup kicker that he's, well, no, he's just a kicker.
He's
a soccer player who moves to the area, starts going to school there, and he tries out for the football team. And I don't want to criticize anybody's coaching, because I never coached, but your team's not very good. Some of that might be because you spend an awful lot of time with your backup kicker
yeah.
in practice. You only got three coaches, and this guy's getting one-on-one coaching. Anyway, David Childress's dad is in a wheelchair, and he has some of my favorite lines
no.
in the movie that I want to recap just quickly. One, he says to David, David's a soccer player, remember, but this school doesn't have a soccer team, mind
right,
you.
Right.
His dad says to him, if you're waiting around for soccer, it's not going to happen. And I felt like that was a message beyond David and to just the American public at large. Because we're always told soccer is about to become a big sport here. And it's just not. And that's what I heard David's dad saying there. If you guys are waiting for soccer to really take off here, it's not going to happen. Second thing, and this is like a top moment for me in the whole movie. David Childress says to his dad, Dad, I can't even kick it straight. David's dad replies, and I can't walk.
Which is not
and
funny.
I can't walk, son. But it just made you think, how often did he play this card?
Right, right.
That seemed like it was ready to be dropped.
Right. You know, I feel like it was dropped like... That line was given to his kid at like kind of a, I don't know, the kid's like questioning some things. He's having a hard time.
Yeah.
And dad is not sensitive to this at all.
No.
So you feel like he's probably used this line many times. Like
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like so he should be used to that. He should be used to like not giving an excuse to his wheelchair bound father, sort of wheelchair bound father. He stands up a couple of times.
It
would be
definitely.
It's so awkward. His like field goal arms,
field goal arms
are the most
going up
awkward thing in the whole film. And it's like 7 times he puts his arms up as if it's like
right
inspirational. And I'd just be creeped out
he
by this guy.
He sort of stands up at the end when he kicks the game-winning field goal. Oh but it, again, also just to, as a, of course, thinking about Friday Night Lights, and you're like, we got to have someone in a wheelchair because Friday
right.
Night Lights has someone
right.
in a wheelchair. Okay, my last one in the favorite characters, I'm sorry, was a character, but this just killed me. This character named Joshua Webster that we never talk about. And why he makes me laugh so much is because David Childress, this soccer player I mentioned earlier, moves into the area.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually brought up several times. Oh, we actually have a good kicker. His name's Joshua Webster. And we never see this guy.
No.
But a team that's terrible.
Not
you've got,
you see him in the last game.
You see him in the last... I'm glad you brought that up. You see him in the last game when Bobby Duke with the lollipop... He starts screaming at his players, make them pay, make them pay. And who do they go after, Tim? Joshua Webster. Joshua Webster was the glue holding this team together. He didn't have a line. He didn't have a line of dialogue.
Never saw his face.
Never saw his face. But they brought on a backup kick. Can you imagine what that does to a kid's confidence? He's like, oh, I'm doing pretty good. I'm a pretty good kicker on this team. Oh, it's fine. But we brought this other kid on. And we're spending excessive amounts
right.
of time coaching.
Well,
they
have 35 people on their team. I think there's room for somebody else on the
there
roster.
There was space. Joshua Webster. Those were my favorite characters. David Childress's dad, Brock, and Joshua Webster. Okay, now let's get to the other side of the coin. Cheesiest part for you.
Oh, I was... yeah. Is that the other side of the coin? Because I've done... I thought that's what we were talking about this whole time.
Just... This is the cheesiest part of facing the Giants.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Man, I have to say it's like the relationship of the husband and wife.
Come on.
It's this thing that's happening in their home. Everything from like they don't have any money. He's stuck in this. He's in this job where he's like being usurped by
right.
you know, his like boosters and the parents, and they don't make enough money anyway. He's not good at it. He like he can't. His wife can't get pregnant, and I don't want to like joke around about this too much, but his wife can't get pregnant. And then there's all these like innuendos around that. Like,
yeah.
He won't get checked out. At one point, he doesn't get checked out. Where was it? Oh, and then after the game, after one of these games, his car doesn't start.
Right.
And his wife goes, this happens to everybody. Now, don't be embarrassed about it. And it's like...
Oh, no. Oh, I didn't even catch
oh boy.
That.
Oh, yeah. I caught that. And it was before, like, the big reveal. And I'm like, is this a foreshadowing
oh, no.
innuendo? And sure enough, it was a foreshadowing innuendo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that relationship, I just don't, maybe I just don't have a marriage like that, where that's how we don't treat each other We fight more than that. It's great.
Definitely.
They're too nice.
Yeah.
She at many times like cried but didn't shed a tear. And I was real weirded out by that. And she was one of the real actors.
Oh, was she really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, at least her picture's on IMDb.
She definitely was a tough point, and it's also the point of my cheesiest part. The build-up of their relationship, the payoff at the end, and it is just, we talked about Left Behind this. Is it writing? Is it acting? I can't tell you. But the line, "You made the team."
And oh my God.
The what? The daddy team is how she tells him that he's pregnant, that they're pregnant. Like, that got through so many eyes, I have to assume, before we were like, that's.
Let's leave it. Let's leave it in.
That's right. That's where we landed. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, you got kids. I have kids. We all, you and I both talk about being on the daddy team.
The daddy team. I've never heard this phrase. It's like, it's a phrase. It's supposed to be like a payoff phrase.
No,
like,
it sounds creepy.
Oh, yeah. No.
Team captain here.
It was the tough scene for me. The last scene. Okay. Let's go. Least favorite character. Least favorite character.
Totally, as a whole character, the coach from the opposing team.
100%.
Yeah, he's with the lollipop. Like
Babadook.
Yeah, he was awful. He was a used car salesman.
Uh-huh.
Like, everything was bad. Sorry, Bobby.
What was the guy from Friday Night Lights? The Bobby... Wasn't there a guy named Bobby something?
You put me on the spot.
I know, I didn't write this down before. No. That's going to drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Garrity. Buddy Garrity.
Buddy, there Bobby. You go. Yeah. Yeah, no, Buddy Garrity, at least, like, he was the used car salesman.
Yeah. But Bobby Duke was just...
I don't think he was a car salesman.
No, he was just a coach.
Like a creepy coach.
And I think at one point they said they had like 100 kids on their team.
Yeah, they had like 80-some kids versus their 30.
80-some kids.
Like the Philistines, I think.
Yeah, it's something like that.
but
also, like, that's like multiple school buses at that point. But 80-something kids on a football team. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I played basketball. So we all fit in like a Honda Odyssey.
Right.
That seems like a lot of kids to me. Did you have another least favorite? Bobby Duke, your least favorite character?
No, he was it.
He was it? I have a couple because I'm sorry I struggled to answer. These are just one. One I'll touch on briefly because it was a big moment in the film for me. He's expounding on his team. he's unpacking the new philosophy about how we're going to play football. And he says, it's not just on the football field. We have to honor God in our relationships. In our respect for authority, in the classroom, and when we're at home alone surfing on the internet. Immediate close-up of one kid on the team.
He's the quarterback.
What? What?
Yeah.
What?
Called him out.
That's the only bit with this character, mm-hmm. the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And when we're... he doesn't look at him, like, but the camera shot just zoomed.
Right on him.
So that character I didn't care for. Yeah. That's all I knew about him.
mm-hmm.
Another character I really struggled with was Brady Owens, who's the other assistant coach.
Oh, yeah.
But he's
in a bunch of these Christian films, too.
Is he?
Yeah.
He becomes part of the Mutiny Coalition to oust Coach Taylor, which, you know, you just hate to see that. You hate to see his own staff going against him. But I also...
That's unfair, by the way. He wasn't a part of the
coerced.
Mutiny. What else are you going to go with?
To be in it.
Yeah.
But I love the idea of that meeting because we talked about them not having a lot of money. And we're pulling that from actual... This is what they said in the movie. And this is the only reason I have this number. They said in the movie that Coach Taylor made $24,000 a year.
Right.
And his wife made $6,000 a year.
Right.
So what I love to imagine is the scene with this other coach, Brady Owens, meeting with these other parents about how the team's not performing very well. And somebody saying, we're paying this guy $24,000 a year. We deserve to see some results.
Now, 24 grand in 2006.
We'll take our 24 grand. and we'll go get Steve Spurrier. $24,000 a year. Mm-hmm. We should be undefeated every season.
Right.
Oh, kill me. Brady Owens, one of my... And then I touched on it just a second ago. We both touched on it for cheesy part. Brooke Taylor, coach's wife, was one of my least favorite characters. And it's because of some facts of her character. She you were mentioning, she hides in the car. The rest of that scene you were talking about.
Oh, right.
He goes to get the jumper cable. She hides in the car because their car's not good and it breaks down.
Right.
She's embarrassed by the car.
Right.
And yet, she's working at a florist shop making $6,000 a year.
Right, minimal hour. Like, how many hours?
How many hours?
Can you put in some more hours at the floral shop and help the family out?
You don't have any kids. You don't have any kids.
You have nothing else to do.
You are working, I can't do the math that quickly, but $6,000 a year.
She's obviously not fixing things around the house because there was this terrible smell that she couldn't figure out.
A dead
for
months, rat.
And it's a dead rat.
You can really trade. They'd be stronger in one place than another.
Guys.
Brooke Taylor, I got to blame some of this on writing, but Brooke Taylor I struggle with. You got to be part of the solution is what was all I want to say.
Right.
$6,000 a year.
Yeah. Pull your weight. Maybe the opportunities for women in that neighborhood aren't as high.
Now that's probably worth talking about.
I bet if a man was working at that flower shop, he'd get $12,000 a year.
As a matter of fact, at one point, Coach Taylor gets a raise because the team starts winning.
$6,000.
$6,000 raise.
He also gets a new truck. It's a Ford F-150 Lariat extended cab. MSRP on that truck in 2006 was like $30,000.
Wow.
Yeah, I looked that up.
It's like a full year salary.
It's a full year's salary for this truck. And then some in a truck. And it's anonymously given.
But the viewer knows. We won't spoil that for you.
No.
We won't spoil that part for you, but we know who gave it to him.
So the lesson is change kids' lives and get a truck. That's what I hear. That's what I hear from Christian movies right now.
Oh, all right. Let's just do miscellaneous here. Is there any other? Do we need to talk about anything else in the movie?
There's the Mark Richt cameo.
Mark
appearance.
Richt, Georgia coach, appears.
That was fun.
What's funny about that is the suggestion that Coach Taylor was a Georgia football player.
Yeah, he was that good.
Because that was a little hard for me to believe.
One of my favorite moments at the end was when the backup kicker comes in to kick the game-winning field goal, the state championship-winning field goal, and he kicks this thing. He's never kicked a field goal longer than 39 yards,
never.
Which I can't kick a field goal 39
That's right.
yards. But he's asked to kick like a 51-yard field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, he makes it.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody prayed or there was angels in the outfield or something, and the wind changed direction.
That's right.
At the last second.
That's
he
right.
He kicks this ball as hard as he can. He does this Charlie Brown
falls over
backflip
yeah.
as he's kicking this ball, and it goes through. Barely through.
Barely.
This is a kid, by the way, that at the beginning, which we haven't talked about yet, when he goes to try his first couple of field goals,
mm-hmm.
Coming from being a soccer player, he wanted to play on the soccer team. And soccer it just wasn't available to him. So
if you're waiting for soccer, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. I'm going to tell you, if soccer would have showed up, I don't think he would have made that team either. Because he does these practice field goal kicks. He kicks and he kicks and he misses the ball on occasion.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah.
Kicks the holder's hand
yeah.
misses the ball completely, trips over himself. Like, dude, you don't have to kick it straight. You just have to kick the ball, though.
You gotta kick it at all.
How are you playing soccer if you can't kick the ball?
Right. Yeah.
And then we're asking this kid to kick a 51-yard field
right.
goal.
Right.
This is an NFL distance field goal.
Yeah. And he does it.
Well, because Jesus.
Because of the surprising ending. It does touch on the ever funny to me idea that, yeah, that like there's a spiritual engagement in our sporting affairs.
Right.
Like, it just is
with, like
a heavy inclination
yeah.
that nobody on Bobby Duke's team of 84,000 students.
No.
84 students.
If they would have started a revival
was a Christian.
In their school, then maybe God would be on their side.
Yeah. It definitely cracks into that discussion. And yeah, you think about the Panthers, who actually legitimately beat the Eagles in the first round of the playoffs.
Right.
But were then somehow...
God smote them with 19-year-olds. And in the real world, it's like, well, if that's true in the movies, then I guess God is on the New England Patriots side.
Right.
And the Yankees side. Then there's no way that's
there's
possible.
There's no way.
There's literally no way, like...
No chance.
A loving God is on their side.
Now, God was probably with the Bucks,
of course.
And the Lightning and the Rays last year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a funny topic. I just will always think that's kind of funny when you're like pray for your team to win. I think I should have looked this up before. I think it's a Peyton Manning quote of like, he's talked about that and said like, I don't really pray for my team to win because I figure there's somebody on the other team praying for his team to win. It just doesn't feel like it's worthwhile. A thing that just hit me though, is Coach Taylor the one that calls on the Panthers in the first round of the playoffs? Hey,
how does he know?
Saw one of these kids out here. Seemed kind of old to me.
Seemed a little tall. Had more hair than I did.
Felt
in my
like
head.
He had voted before.
One other thing that maybe we should have brought at the beginning. But in the comparison of Coach Taylor's the Friday Night Lights Coach Taylor to this one, at the end in the first game of the playoffs. Facing the Giants, Coach Taylor says he gives his team his inspirational like talk.
Yeah,
at the beginning of the game, gets him on the field, gets in the huddle with him. He's like, "Stay sharp, stay focused, play hard, honor God." Which is if that's not clear eyes, full hearts can't lose. I don't know what is.
Oh man, I missed that.
Yeah,
it
seems like a really lengthy like clear eyes, full hearts can't lose. That's easy,
right?
Stay sharp.
Yeah.
Honor God. Love your parents. Hug your sister. Read your books. Brush your teeth. Go to bed on time. Get an education. Did I say honor God? What about play hard? Did I do the play hard one yet?
Do it twice. That brings me... Gosh, that is very funny. That brings me to our last question. How many raised hand emojis do we give facing the Giants?
Out of what are my options again? Is it just two?
One through five.
One through five.
Praise hand emojis.
Praise hand emojis. I think I'm gonna go with three. Is three right? Is three the right number?
That's up to you. I'm not. This is your journey with Friday Night Lights.
Oh, Friday Night Lights wasn't the movie. I mean, Friday Night Giants.
Facing the Giants.
Facing the...
Of the Friday Night Lights.
Night Lights. I'm going to... I hate to commit to four. 3.5. I'm going to go 3.5. I liked the comedic elements of this movie.
Wow.
I'm feeling generous today.
Yeah, I'm proud of you for that score.
There was some good... It's a football movie.
It's a football movie. It checks some fun... Football movie boxes. I definitely give you that. I can't go higher than a 2.5.
Whoa!
For facing the Giants. Again, I will always hedge these with a group of people wrote, set out, and made a movie, and that should be celebrated.
Okay. Yeah.
But
I mean, there's a major rub to me, and maybe I'll go back to 3 stars or maybe less in this, like the concept that like you, everything's falling apart in your life. If you just have a to Jesus moment and you realize that like you need to start changing things, and then spiritually, magically, everything gets better. Like that, if that was a message that was sent out a lot in my youth, my younger days.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of now.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't.
It doesn't always
play out.
This
is going to be blasphemous, but it doesn't really work
doesn't
like
always
that.
Play out that way. Right,
life doesn't happen like that sometimes. So, like in the notion that like, well, if it's not working, it's because you're just not doing it right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say there's a little bit much of that in here for me.
Yeah.
We didn't even bring it up, but one of the players has this scene with his dad where he like goes I mean, just over the top. Like, yeah, just seemed like the writing was like, we think we got the point across, but we're going to throw in three more points. The example you just gave was perfect. We think we got the point across that, hey, some cool things started to happen when they had this like refocusing on that it's not all about football. Like, cool, great. Yeah, that's a story that is. But then you just went 40 more yards that direction, and that's mm-hmm. why I can't move it higher than that for me.
I'm glad you measured that in yards.
Because
those are football terms.
So a recommendation I have, if you are, yeah, I think I can give it 2.5. Football parts are fun. There's some funny stuff in there. They do some good funny stuff. Yeah, they named him Coach Taylor. I mean, it just is. These are some hard. There's a lot of last names out there that aren't mm-hmm. iconic books turned into movies turned uh-huh. into TV show mm-hmm. kind of level names. So yeah, that's where I'm at. But we didn't say this at the beginning. This movie is available for free.
If you use Anthony's login
TBN.org. TBN.org is where we watched it. There's probably other ways to watch it. If you are at a Christian school right now, you're probably going to watch it when you have a substitute teacher one day. If I had to guess, you could wait for that day to come because you probably will watch it. And I honestly feel a little bit bad for you because I do feel like this edged out Remember the Titans in some circles.
Oh, right.
And that was, to me, a better football movie.
Oh, hands down.
I would rather you guys...
No question.
Since you made me pick, I would suggest Remember the Titans.
Uh-huh. Just, well, we gotta watch it now.
Just a hair over Facing the Giants. You have a last word on Facing the Giants?
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't. No. At the end of the movie, you find out that she's pregnant, and then the final shot is 2 years later, and she's got this like year-old kid.
Right.
This year-and-a-half-old kid, and she's pregnant again.
She's pregnant again.
And it's like, that was a bad idea. You can't be pregnant and have a like a little toddler
two
running
kids
around.
Is
like
tough.
You asked for a baby, you got this.
Yeah.
Good luck, lady.
Two babies is tough. I just had highlighted this line and I want to throw it in here at the end. At one point, Coach Taylor's wife says to her friend, "I've been to the doctor 3 times this year. It's getting embarrassing." Folks, if you need to go to the doctor, you could just go ahead and go. There's no limit on how many times you're allowed to go to the doctor each year. I don't know if anybody else is carrying around this sort of like embarrassment. That's probably like towards the bottom of how often you should be going to the doctor. You're going to get checked up. 3 times isn't bad. That just stuck out to me. Been to the doctor 3 times, Cheryl.
Yeah, that's normal.
That's embarrassing. Go to the doctor if you need to. Well,
I have a thought, and I don't want to suggest anything next, but you know, after reading the synopsis of Flywheel on IMDb, the other film by Alex, I mean, the synopsis is really intriguing.
What is it?
A dishonest used car salesman decides to become the salesman that God wants him to be, with surprising results.
Stop. Results are nothing if not surprising. Well, maybe we'll do Flywheel next, unless you guys send us in a different suggestion.
This feels like torture. This feels like the people from Fear Factor are like, well, just you let us know what you want us to eat.
Yeah,
down the road, just yeah. name something.
And give
we'll eat it probably.
Send us in whatever Christian movie you think we should cover next. You can send that in. Via Instagram is the best way. Follow @TheBibleIsFunny. You can message me there. I want to hear what you think about Facing the Giants. I want to hear what movie we should cover next. And I want to hear how many times you go to the doctor in a year. Just kidding.
it's a HIPAA.
Don't thing. Say that last one. But thank you so much for listening. Thank you for following along, messaging, leaving reviews, rating the podcast. All that's super helpful for getting the word out. We'll be back with another episode here very soon.
Football.